So yesterday I got to do something that I thoroughly enjoy, but I don't get to do it very often, and that is I got to do a little crate digging. I didn't say dumpster diving, I said crate digging. If you collect vinyl records, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. I found this little record store in the middle of back part of a building in downtown Raleigh and got to spend about an hour there looking for some old jazz records. And I like the first edition original press jazz records because I really enjoy jazz music. And you know what I enjoy about jazz music? It's improvisation. The one thing about jazz music is it really doesn't follow a pattern per se, though they have music, but they can ad-lib, they can put into it what they want, they can go about jazz in a particular way, and that's the great thing about jazz music. You listen to Thelonious Monk and Charles Mingus and Miles Davis and Max Roach and some of these other individuals, that's the one joy that I get out of listening to old jazz records. But the problem is, in the world today, many people look at the Bible like a jazz record. That is, they want to improvise and put into it what they think the meaning of it should say. But there's a problem with that and what the Bible says for us and what we think concerning what God says about His Word for us. But there seems to be a rallying cry in the world today, and that rallying cry is, well, the Bible doesn't say that I can't. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that, I'd be a pretty rich fellow. But we understand, though faith is through, or rather obedience comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, we understand that faith and obedience are tied together. The problem is that many people want to build their foundation upon this particular saying right here. Well, the Bible doesn't say that we can't specifically use mechanical instruments. The Bible doesn't specifically say that we can't have a choir, that we can't get up and jumping up and down and do holy clapping and holy dancing. The Bible doesn't specifically say those things, and I would agree absolutely 100%. But the Bible also doesn't say anything about making illegal drugs either, does it? The Bible doesn't say anything specifically about pedophilia, does it? Yet we understand inherently just because it doesn't say something doesn't negate the fact that we can't or can't do it in relation to what God says. We have to follow specifically what He gives to us concerning His holy word. I had an individual say to me one time concerning the issue of the necessity of baptism for salvation. He says, well, there's only one place in the Bible that it says that baptism saves us. Isn't once enough? When I was growing up, you only got told once. The Bible tells us one time in relation to specific things, and when God says it, brethren, that's it. As a friend of mine who's a gospel preacher says, that's it, and it don't get any itter. When it comes to what God tells us to do, we have to follow what He tells us to do, and we do this by faith, and we do this simply by obedience. You see, the doctrine of the Bible doesn't say I can is one reason I think that the religious world is in the mess that it is in today. We're so divided, we're so sectioned off because everybody has their own views and their own meanings and their own terms and their own doctrines and what the Bible says. Brethren, can't we just do what the Bible says? We've got to follow specifically His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, His commandments are not difficult. But so many people want to follow their own pattern in the way that they do things. Even Paul talked about this in what was read for us this morning in our scripture reading. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Yet why is the religious world today so divided then concerning doctrinal issues and what they teach and how they want to worship? God has given us a simple pattern by which we need to follow, yet the world wants to follow their own pattern. The reason why we don't give in or go along with what the world says on this issue, what the Bible teaches, is because we live by faith. We can look at Hebrews 11, chapter 1, as that institution, that sound idea of what true faith is, and by faith we learn that we do obedience because of our faith. And brethren, if we can't do it by faith, then we simply can't do it. We've got to follow the New Testament pattern. And when we do this, it eliminates division. It eliminates strife. It provides confidence that God is pleased in what we do. And the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith, right? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet so many people think they have to have miracles today by which to believe in who God is. Yet the Bible tells us His Word is complete and it makes us perfect unto salvation. We have His complete and holy and divine Word. We are to preach it accurately, correctly, divide it rightly, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Yet the world wants to follow their own standard. You see, the just shall live by faith, as it says in Romans 1 and verse 17 and Galatians 3 and verse 11. And we are to walk again by faith and not by sight. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul, God said, shall have no pleasure in them. So, brethren, what does it mean then concerning our faith when it equals obedience given what God has told us to follow in His holy and divine Word? To live by faith is simply to live as God has directed us, to follow His divine standard, His pattern that He gives us, that standard operating of procedures. It's so easy in the world today, in the religious world in which we, or rather the secular world in which we live, but yet we don't apply it to the religious world. I've given you the case concerning when I went to Russia and walked into a McDonald's, the Big Mac tasted the same there as it does here. There was no difference. Why? Because they have a standard by which they make their hamburgers. But yet we don't take that and apply it into the biblical aspect of what God has given us. Brethren, we need this lesson because the world dangles that freedom of doing whatever you want to do concerning religion in front of us all the time, don't they? When we tell somebody concerning why we don't use instruments of music, why we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, why we don't refer to the preacher as a reverend or a pastor or a bishop or any other thing, unless he's an elder also, it's because the Bible tells us explicitly what we must do in serving Him, in worshiping Him, and in following Him every day of our lives. It's simple. The pattern is very basic. The pattern is very simple, and God designed it that way with Christ as the chief cornerstone. And brethren, when we get that right, we get our lives right, we get our worships right, and we get right with God. Because if we don't do that, brethren, then we lose our way, we lose our sight. Most importantly, we lose our faith. And by faith, we walk with what God gives us to do. You see, to live by faith is to live as God directed us. And we need this because humans have this inclination to do things their own way, don't they? But here's what we have to understand, is that living by faith requires a word from God. He's the directive. He's the head, right? He's the chief operating officer. He tells us exactly what we must need to know and why we need to know it. Again, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. For me to have faith comes by knowing His Word, growing in knowledge. Increasing my knowledge is exactly what God requires of me. Adding these things by faith, as Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, concerning those Christian graces that help me increase in faith. And if I'm not growing in faith, brethren, I'm not growing in the Word. So I've got to have a faith that requires a word from God. You can't believe in it. You can't trust in it if it's not in the Word. And the Word tells me what to follow. This passage is also true for the true source of what it means to live by faith. If you would indulge me for just a few moments this morning, looking at Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to spend some of our time this morning when we understand what it means to truly live by faith concerning our obedience in following God's standard of law. But again, the world wants it to make it so difficult. Again, it reveals what's wrong with, but the Bible doesn't say I can't doctrine concerning instrumental music, or that you can't have a universal pope, or that you can't preach the sinner's prayer, and so many other different things out there because it's not explicitly stated in the Bible. My grandfather used to give a very simple illustration concerning this whole issue of the Bible doesn't say I can't. In many of his sermons, I heard him say, if I send you to the store to get bread and milk and give you $10 to get bread and milk, I expect you to come back with bread and milk and some change. But if you come back with bread and milk and meat and candy and other things, and I say, why did you get this, Larry? And I simply reply, Granddaddy, I got this because you didn't say I couldn't. That wouldn't go very far. Explicitly, the command was given of exactly what I was told to retrieve from the store. We understand it, we know the simplicity of it, but when it comes to tying it to the Bible, we simply get misguided. But if there's no word from God, brethren, there simply is no faith. Now, Living by faith is illustrated in Hebrews chapter 1, or Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. If you look at it, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now here's where we understand where faith comes by what we're told to do, which equals obedience. Looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice." So he did according to what God told him to do concerning his obedience. He didn't go outside of what he was commanded to do concerning his faith. Look at verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." He didn't build it out of something other than gopher wood, did he? He did exactly what he was told to do because he did it by faith, and he did it by obedience through instruction of what the God's word told him to do. Yet why does the world find this so difficult? Look at verse 17 and 19. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Isaac, this is what I want you to do. I want you to offer up your only son upon this altar which I command you. "Yes, sir," is exactly what Abraham said. He offers up his son. God stops him. He did this by faith, which equals obedience. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. He didn't argue and say, "But Lord, you didn't say how I was to specifically sacrifice him on this day. You didn't give me exactly the amount I'm supposed to use. What if Noah would have said that concerning the wood he was to use? God, you know what? I don't think gopher wood is probably the best wood to use in this particular case. Maybe you ought to try this specific species of wood. Maybe this would work out just a little bit better." It says, no, by faith, Noah built a boat according to what God told him to do. Not some other standard, not some other opinion or some other idea. He followed the divine law of what God required. You think about Hebrews 11 and verse 30 concerning the walls of Jericho. Notice what it says in verse 30 there. "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. How many times did God tell them to walk around the wall? Did you hear any of these Israelites stand up and say, "God, this is the most ludicrous and most ridiculous thing we could do. Why are we marching around this wall every day for 7 days? It didn't matter how many times they told him to march around it. They did it because God commanded them to do it. And because that, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down and they conquered the city, did they not? You think about Naaman concerning that baptism when he came out to Elijah the prophet. He was all upset, wasn't he? Why can't he do this magic? Why can't he just heal me of my leprosy? And what did the little servant say? If he told you to do some big, magnificent thing, you would have jumped for joy and done it. He's simply asking you to go dip yourself in the river. Why is this such a difficult thing? Just follow what God tells you to do. But yet, people don't want to do that. You see, these examples and definitions of faith bring us to the conclusion that if God has specified, brethren, everything else is excluded. We don't have to guess. We don't have to try. God gives us that basic standard rule, the canon. That's the rule by which we follow. Nothing else. But we live by faith also in what we say. Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." You mean I can only say what the Bible tells me to say? You mean I can only preach what the Bible tells me to preach? Contrast that with, "But the Bible doesn't say I can't." If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, speaking what God has told him to say through His holy and divine word. Contrast that with, "But we're all headed for the same place, just in different paths." Contrast that with, "Join the church of your choice," though we don't find that church of that choice in Acts chapter 2. When people always ask me what church they should join, I say, join the church that you find in the Bible. If you can't find it in the Bible, brethren, don't join it. If we're to follow that doctrine which was given to us, it's simply laid out for us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and in prayers." They followed that doctrine which was delivered unto them by God Himself. They joined the church that God added them to, Acts 2 and verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Why? because they were pricked in their hearts concerning the pure gospel that was preached, not some man's opinion concerning the sinner's prayer, what maybe they can say to get to heaven. Brethren, I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved. And 1 John 1:8 tells me that I can have confidence in this. The Bible tells me if I walk in His light according to His standards, I have fellowship with God Himself. But brethren, it's based upon His standard operating procedure. You know, often people say, well, do you guys think you're the only one going to heaven? And to that I say, no. Only the ones following the Bible are going to heaven. We've got to follow God's standard authority. If I want to go to heaven, I've got to do it according to God's standard of authority. I've got to follow His GPS to get to heaven, right? And that's the gospel plan of salvation. If I want to be in heaven, I've got to follow His plan of salvation to get there according to His word and what He gives me. That is, we earnestly contend for the faith, earnestly contend for that supposed freedom is what the world says. We'll do what we want to do according to the standards that we want to do it. Here's the test. It says in Matthew 21 and verse 25, as John was being tested concerning Jesus and that baptism, what did he say? Is that baptism, is it from heaven or is it from man? Brethren, that's the same thing we do concerning the litmus test given to the religious world today. Is it from heaven or is it from man? If it's not from heaven, then we throw it out. Jesus said this specifically, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We don't follow what man says, we follow what God says. Living by faith also is what we do. Brethren, people have to see it in how we live. We have to be an example. And when we do all according to the standard of God's authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How do we do it? Through the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we do it? Because of what He did at the cross of Calvary. That's that authority that we follow. What can you do in the name of Jesus Christ? Everything the Bible tells me to do. If it doesn't say it and can't be done accordingly by His name, brethren, then we have no authority for it. Think about Deuteronomy 18 and verse 22. If it's claimed to be in the name of the Lord and it has not been spoken of by the Lord, brethren, then it's presumptuous. You think about the sinner's prayer, or send me your seed money, as they often say, or pray the rosary, or venerate Mary, or some of these other ridiculous things that we hear about today that we read nothing about in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 says, don't go beyond what is written. It doesn't get any plainer than that, brethren. Don't go beyond what God has given. Don't interject your opinions in what we might think is good for the Lord's church. Ask Nadab and Abihu how that worked out for them. Because they offered up strange fire or strange worship before the Lord, something that was not acceptable to Him. You see, starting with the ASV, the standard translations for 1 Corinthians 4 have, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written for you. Deuteronomy 4, 2, even under the old law, it says, you shall not add unto the word which I've commanded you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and you're found a liar. Brethren, how many people like to be called a liar? But you see, if you teach according not to God's providential standards that He's given us concerning His Word, His holy and divine Word, then guess what? That's exactly what we are. We're a liar, and the Bible says the truth is not in us. So what are we supposed to do about it then? If I'm not following the standards, then Larry, what can I do to fix that? I've got to go back to the book. I've got to go back to the blueprint that He's given me concerning the standard that I follow. That's it. It's simple, it's plain, and it's put right in front of us, and it tells us exactly what we must do concerning this faith. By faith, obedience is offered unto God. By faith, I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. By faith, I must worship God in spirit and in truth according to His divine word. By faith, I must live my life according to faith that I might see the crown of righteousness, Revelation 2:10, on the day of judgment. By faith, brethren, and if I'm not living by faith, it's not according to God's word. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you living by faith? Because if you're not, it's not by God's standards. Can you say by faith the way that you're living isn't in line with what God tells you to do? Because if it's not, if you can't put the two together and they're not mirroring what the Bible says, then brethren, you're not living by faith. Sometimes we think we're living by faith, but when we live by faith in what we do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Brethren, if you're not living by faith today in your life as a Christian, I encourage you to correct that today, before it's everlasting too late. And you have opportunity this day, this morning, to fix that. Why? Because God has afforded it to us. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And we don't know when that's going to be, but we've got to be prepared to know that we're living by faith according to God's Word. If you aren't, let us pray with you today. Let us pray for you. But you can know as you leave here this morning, as you pillow your head tonight, that you're living by faith according to God's standard of divine nature. And if you're here this morning and you haven't put on God in baptism, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do it today. If you've heard the Word, you believe the Word, you want to obey the Word because you want to have faith in the Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the Bible also tells us that we've got to follow the gospel plan of salvation. And if you're ready to do that, if you're ready to repent of your sins this day, if you're ready to confess your faith in who Jesus is, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and if you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, guess what? It saves you, even if it only says it one time in the Bible. If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism today to have all of your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38, Romans 6:3 and 4, 1 Peter 3:21, shall we go on, brethren? The Bible tells us exactly what we've got to do. So why not do it today as together we stand and as we sing? It's so sweet.